On the line with us right now, Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network and of the Columbus Clippers, enjoying a very rare night off, and it's very kind of him to give part of that day off to us. Ryan, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you spending some time with us here. Obviously, a disappointing ending to the season for the Columbus Blue Jackets, dropping the series to the Pittsburgh Penguins. But I want to go back to one of the positives in this series. I want you to elaborate on something that you described on social media. That's the atmosphere at Nationwide Arena last Sunday. You posted a small video about the place, how it was rocking, how it was so loud. Kind of give us an idea as to what that place was like from your perspective.
Well, guys, thanks for having me on again. It was a tremendous atmosphere at Nationwide. Game three, you know, they came out, Cam Atkinson scored a goal 11 seconds in, and the place was rocking during the introductions and the warm-ups and all that stuff, but once that goal happened, and they scored another one not all that long after, it was thunderous in that building. It's been great from an attendance standpoint most of the season. Once the Jackets got rolling and they were winning games and they really started to rise to the top of the Metro Division, the city bought in, the fans were there. There were a lot of sellouts this season. And, boy, during those playoffs, Game 3 was great. And it was an Easter Sunday, by the way, which is not always great for attendance among any sport, even in the playoffs. And then in Game 4, it was unbelievable, even louder, even more people in there, and they were rewarded with a win to stave off elimination, at least for that day. I think that's one of the things that this team will be able to take away, is the way the city embraced them, and they always have since this franchise began, but they've been starved for a winner. And when the Jackets made the playoffs, they got home against Pittsburgh. And I think maybe that was one of the things that was really a disadvantage when they lost out on home ice. It was such a great atmosphere. Trying to overcome Pittsburgh is not an easy thing, but when you've got the crowd behind you, it gives you maybe a little bit more oomph in the step, and they were able to take advantage in Game 4 and almost did in Game 3 as well.
Ryan, as I watched this series, I got to think to myself that home ice advantage really is worth a goal, it seems, in the playoffs. And it just seemed like the Jackets couldn't seem to get it together when they were in Pittsburgh enough to get that victory over the Pens.
Well, it's funny. John Tortorella said he doesn't believe in home ice advantage. After this series, maybe he'll think a little bit differently. Now, this is a guy that's won a cup,
sure,
so he's been through these wars before. But I found it interesting to hear that he doesn't really believe in that home ice is a huge factor. But when you're playing a team that on paper is just more talented from the top to the bottom of the roster, you want every advantage you can get. You get that second, and I think in this series, having the second change, being able to match up and do what you want to do, would have been a big advantage for the CBJ. Brandon Dubinsky is a guy that's always played well against Sidney Crosby. It didn't actually work out extremely well for the Jackets in the first couple of games when they went into maybe changing that up a little bit and putting Bill Carlson's line against Crosby. That's when they had the best success, and they were able to get that done because they were on home ice. So I think that's maybe one of the places, and people that don't know hockey all that well maybe don't understand what I'm talking about. When there's a stoppage, the home team gets to make the second line change, so they get to see who the opponent puts on the ice, and then they can match up the way they want to. And I think that was an advantage for the Jackets when they got home, and it might have made the difference in one of those games.
Sure. I thought that watching last night's game against Pittsburgh, and last night, too, I thought it was fascinating how after the game at the press conference, Tortorella said this wasn't a 4-1 series. I'd have to agree, going back to Game 3, when you see Dubinsky shot in overtime, miss the net by just a few inches because Fleury's head happens to run into it as he's coming across the ice. But it really seemed like they had their advantages at times. They just couldn't hold on for whatever reason it was. Did you think maybe more bounces went the way of the Penguins?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The puck luck was definitely with the Pens for most of the series. But the fact of the matter is, good teams make their own luck. And Pittsburgh played in a fashion that suited their talents. I think the Jackets missed out on a lot of opportunities to crash the net and rattle Marc-Andre Fleury. This is a guy who did not have a great season. He was the backup. He wasn't even supposed to play in this series. When Matt Murray got hurt in warm-ups prior to Game 1, he got in there, and he played very well in Games 1 and 2, the two games at Nationwide Arena. He was rattled. The crowd was all over him. He was leaky And he wasn't their best player during games 3 and 4. But, you know, he faced 51 shots last night and stopped almost all of them. Only 2 got in. I think that's maybe where the Jackets missed out on an opportunity, is crashing the net in the first couple of games to take advantage of the things that maybe Fleury doesn't do well. He plays out in front of the net a little bit more than maybe the more technically sound Murray does. He's more Fleury's more of a free-form goaltender, and I think the Jackets weren't able to take advantage of that. In terms of, was it a 4-1 series? Well, obviously, the results say that it was. The Jackets in every game came out flying in the first period, and each and every time, Pittsburgh had an answer. And that's the difference between a young, up-and-coming team that is maybe on the verge of breaking through and a veteran team that, by the way, won the Stanley Cup a season ago. I said this on our post-game show last night. I thought of it a little bit like the NBA in the mid to late 80s and early 90s. When the Pistons had a dynasty, they had to get past the Celtics and then the Lakers, and they finally did. And then the Bulls, to create their dynasty, had to get past the Pistons. And it took both of those teams a couple of chances to get the job done. They fell first before they were able to kind of crawl over that hump. And I think the Jackets are a team with a young core. A lot of these guys are going to be back for several more years. They may be in that similar position where they have to slay the giant, in this case the Penguins, before they can get to the top of the mountain.
That's a fascinating analogy, or a series of fascinating analogies. We're talking with Ryan Mitchell of the Columbus Clippers and the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. If we could kind of focus on the positive here for just a second here. If you're to take a look back at the entire season, and you can only narrow it down to maybe 2 or 3, what would you say the 2 or 3 top moments were from the entire year for the Jackets?
Well, the 16-game winning streak obviously isn't a moment, but when you go undefeated for an entire month, as the Jackets did in December, that was huge. I go back to the third game of the season, a win against the Chicago Blackhawks. The Jackets had started 0-2, and if they lose that game against the Hawks, they go out on a West Coast road trip, which is always tough, and then you say, oh boy, here we go again. It's another start to the season like we had a year ago. But they beat that Chicago team to go out on that road trip. It gave them some momentum. They came back with a lot of points on that road trip, and it started things going in a positive way. The 10-0 smoking of the Montreal Canadiens, who at the time were the top team in the NHL at Nationwide Arena, was a big one. And then a 2-game series later on in the year against Pittsburgh and Montreal. It was a back-to-back. And they blistered the Pens 7-1 and then beat Montreal the next day 2-1. Those were a couple of moments where you thought, okay, this team is legit. They're not just a team facing backup goaltenders as they were early in the season that nobody was taking seriously. This team is a contender to make the playoffs and make some noise. They did make the playoffs. They didn't make enough noise. But in terms of positives, there are tons of those to build on. Zach Werenski was named as a finalist for the Calder Trophy for the top rookie. He's probably not going to win it because of the seasons that Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews have had. But having him in that conversation is great. I'm sure a lot of people saw his Twitter picture after taking that puck to the face. That was another moment. When he came back out on the ice in Game 3 at Nationwide Arena, that might have been the loudest single cheer of the season when he was out there and touched the puck. Wasn't able to go in the overtime because the swelling just prevented him from seeing. But this is a 19-year-old kid that could be a generational-type D-man, and he's going to be in a Blue Jackets uniform for a long time, and they're glad to have him.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting with Zach. But to go back to the negative, I guess, to counter what Bull said, I'm just curious, and I don't know who you were around or what was around. I know Torts wouldn't answer the question last night, but it seemed like on Tuesday night in Nashville, a goalie interference wasn't what we saw last night with Alex Wennberg. For those who didn't see it, he ran into Marc-Andre Fleury there at the end. Did you see any reaction from people, anyone saying, what was the general thought, I guess, on that from people?
Well, here's the thing. If you watch the play, there was a ton of contact. Was he pushed into the goalie?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was definitely contact with him being driven that way, but he didn't make any move to try and avoid the contact.
Sure.
Which he could have done. So the puck went in the net, and if the goal is counted, then it's a 3-3 hockey game, and maybe Pittsburgh starts to pucker up a little bit. But I don't know. There was so much contact. Fleury was way out of it, as I talked about before. Yeah. He plays out in front of the goal line quite a bit. So was it a bad call? I don't know. At the time, Torts was very, very fired up. He didn't want to get into it in the post-game press conference for obvious reasons. You don't want to have, you know, sour grapes, because it wound up 5-2. Now, was that a big moment in the game that could have changed the momentum? Sure. But instead of looking at that, let's look at the six or eight golden scoring opportunities that the Jackets had that they did not capitalize on. And really, that's the story of the series. They had a lot of those. You mentioned Brandon Dubinsky clanging one off the mask of Fleury in the overtime. If that puck goes 4 inches to either direction, it's in and the Jackets win, and it's a different look in the series. But you've got to capitalize on your opportunities. The Jackets didn't. The Penguins did. Their best players played the best. And for the Jackets, that wasn't the case. You know, Brandon Saad had a couple of good games, but wasn't really noticeable throughout the series. Werenski was obviously out for a lot of it. And Sergei Bobrovsky, who's probably deserving of the Vezina Trophy this year as the best regular season goaltender, was not very good. And he's had a string now of history in the playoffs where he hasn't been good. But, boy, it's almost hard to hold against him because of the season that he had. But they needed him to play great in net, and he didn't.
Ryan, great stuff as always. We always appreciate you making time for us. Even though the Jackets are done, we will still call on you periodically throughout the course of the summer to get the 411 on the Columbus Clippers. This is a very rare weekend off for you, my friend, so enjoy it, and thank you again for coming on.
All right, thanks, guys, very much. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty, that is Ryan Mitchell of the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network, also the voice of the Columbus Clippers, giving us some of his time here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.